Hi and welcome back on this season, India at 70. We had started exploring how India started its journey of actually becoming one country named India by uniting the many, many pieces of princely states that there were. As we saw, most of the states had ultimately agreed to be a part of the dominion of India, even though they were theoretically given a choice to accede to either India or Pakistan. But as we know, nothing in our life is that smooth, right? So some states did create a problem in this process, and two of them were Hyderabad and Junagadh. Hyderabad is a modern city today. Back then too, it was an eminent princely state ruled by a Muslim, Usman Ali Khan, referred to as the Nizam of Hyderabad, with most of his population being Hindu. However, Hyderabad even then was truly a cosmopolitan state with almost equal population speaking Telugu, Marathi, Kannada and Urdu. Nizam decided not to go with either India or Pakistan. He decided to stay independent. He, in fact, as we saw in the last episode, also appointed his own representatives in the European states. He very seriously had approached Lord Mountbatten and expressed his desire to be accepted as a part of the British Commonwealth, which Mountbatten obviously rejected. But he stayed independent for one full year, even after the Indian independence. Now here was a problem. The Indian government was not keen on having an independent monarchy right in the middle of a democratic country and wanted Hyderabad to accede. Nizam, of course, did not want to. Now even as India and Hyderabad were negotiating, a lot of incidences of communal violences erupted all over the state. Not really due to Nizam or anything, but in the course of aftermath of the partition. This made Nizam fear the revolt of his Hindu population. He then allowed his aide Qasim Razvi to form a voluntary militia group known as the Razakars. Their sole purpose was to work towards maintaining Islamic rule in Hyderabad. Come to think of it, it was probably a reactionary thing on the Nizam's part, but sadly it couldn't have been taken back. The army of Razakars committed several atrocities, mostly onto the Hindu folk. Indian government was actually waiting for an excuse like this. As came the news of Razakar atrocities, the government decided to launch a military strike named as Operation Polo. Within 5 days from the Indian army entering Hyderabad, the Razakar forces were outnumbered and the Nizam decided to surrender. As always, there are also other aspects to such incidents. Again, in what could be described as a reactionary manner, there were reports of murders, rapes and atrocities committed onto Muslim population by many Hindus as well as Indian army soldiers. Prime Minister Nehru had appointed a mixed faith committee to examine the truth in this matter and it did submit a report. However, more absurdly, that report itself was a classified file up to 2013. Looking back, could Hyderabad have stayed independent? Probably no, due to it being surrounded by Indian heartland. But then actions sparked off reactions and many innocent people of both religions lost their lives. Hyderabad finally acceded to India, or rather Hyderabad was finally taken by India in 1948. The second story is that of Junagadh. It's a small princely state in the present-day Gujarat, bordering on the Arabian Sea. Again, it was a state ruled by a Muslim, Muhammad Mahabad Khanji III, and more than 80% of his population was Hindu. Now the sequence of things from here is so absurd that it is actually confusing. So, Ardian Nawab, much against the wishes of his subjects and against the advice of Lord Mountbatten, decided that he wants to accede to Pakistan and not India. Fair enough, they had a choice. But then his was a state surrounded by India from three sides. What about that? To which he argued that he is joined to Pakistan by sea. When the distance by sea between his port town, Verawal, and closest Pakistan port was that of 300 kilometers. Of course, the Indian government persuaded the Nawab to change his mind, but he remained firm and announced in the newspaper that he is acceding to Pakistan. Later, within a month, the government of Pakistan also signed an instrument of accession. So, on 15th of September, the Nawab officially declared that he has finally done it. Now, after this, some more absurd things took place. On hearing this, two smaller kings or chiefs of two areas named Babriawad and Mongrol flouted this decision and declared that they are independent henceforth and belong to India. And to top it, the chief of Mongrol withdrew his accession the very next day. As if the matters were not absurd enough by this stage, Shyamaldas Gandhi formed a provisional government of Junagadh in Bombay. The incidents after this are somewhat predictable though. While the discussion were going on between the governments of India and Pakistan, Indian government closed the borders of Junagadh, stopping all supplies. The Nawab fled to Karachi and Diwan or the chief minister had the responsibility to decide the fate of the state. After a series of detailed meetings, Diwan Shahnawaz Bhutto decided to go with accession to India and sent a message asking the Indian government to take over Junagadh. And he left for Pakistan. 4 months later, plebiscite, that is an election, was held to see what did the common citizens of Junagadh want. Nearly 2 lakh voted for acceding to India, while only 91 chose Pakistan. And that is how Junagadh finally became an official part of India. Of course, there are historians who opine that what India did was not exactly right, and it sort of forced an accession on Junagadh. But as they say, some issues have to be handled tactfully. And tact, India did display. Interestingly, Pakistan officially complained against India at the United Nations Security Council, and the question is still pending at the UNSC. But it was kind of shadowed later by the issue that seems to be eternal. Of course, the issue of Kashmir. That issue with so many angles to it, so many issues, so many problems, and so much of bloodied history is worth probably a couple of podcasts for itself. And hence, we discuss that later. Coming back to the accession of princely states, it suffices to say that within a couple of years after independence, Patel, Menon and company had managed to forge a country out of so many pieces. When we think about it, we realize that it is a very, very difficult task. I mean, even today, when we are officially one nation, there are still internal skirmishes and yet we survive. There were so many separatist movements and yet we survived. I really do not have an idea as to what it is that holds us together as a country, in spite of so many differences. But there is something, definitely there is, and probably there was, even back then, that made India emerge and become one single nation named India.